You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. It's mock draft time, baby. This is kind of 3.0, but with an asterisk. Because, like, I don't know about you, but I drafted three guys that I would not have drafted if I did not trade. If that makes sense. Like, I drafted three guys that I don't think the Saints are going to draft, but that's who I drafted here because it kind of got all wonky. And I have a feeling you did the same thing.
Well, but I got lucky with at least my first round pick. I knew once I was given the assignment of trading up, I was like, I know what I'm trading up to get.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah. And you did the more sensible thing. let's get into it. We don't have to wait nearly as long as we did previously for this because
the PFF simulator buying into the JJ McCarthy hype there.
So as you mentioned, yeah, first three picks are quarterbacks. The Patriots got sold a lemon. No, that's not true. The Patriots just in this draft, like, again, the JJ McCarthy hype makes no sense to me. It seems like every year someone that's like, oh, he didn't do it in college, but he's got all the intangibles. We got it. And that's what's happening. So Caleb Williams goes number one. Jaden Daniels goes number two to the Commanders. JJ McCarthy goes number three to the Patriots.
Pats are hoping he's the Michigan man is like the other guy that, you know, retired.
Yeah, maybe they think Michigan is the, like, that's what was wrong. They went with Alabama instead of Michigan.
There you go.
And that was their mistake with Mac Jones. Not the evaluation. It was the college.
You know what? I'm still interested to see what Mac can do in the NFL. I don't think he's completely a wash.
Yeah, we'll see. He's backing up Trevor Lawrence now. So
great.
we'll find out. He got traded to the Jaguars. But okay, let's go through. So not a ton of surprises here. Number four, Dallas Turner. I mean, the big surprise is that instead of Marvin Harrison, it's Malik Nabers, the first wide receiver off the board. And I, you know, and a lot of people might disagree with that. I think Malik Nabers is the best wide receiver in this draft. Personally, that said, I've watched him a lot more than the other guys. So that probably, you know, sways my opinion. But here he would be the first wide receiver off the board going to the Chargers at number five.
Number six is a big surprise to me.
Well, I mean, it's a surprise in the sense that he got there, right? Like, it's not a surprise in the sense that the Giants, who need a quarterback, are drafting a quarterback at number six.
No,
the
to me, I thought they'd go wide receiver, honestly, there.
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends on how you feel about Daniel Jones. This would be an indicator that they're like, nah, we're good. Right. They go with another ACC guy, North Carolina, and Drake May. And I think that's going to be a wild card is – you know, are you really committed to Daniel Jones? And if you are you going to go get him the wide receiver that he so desperately needs? But, you know, these next few picks are helpful in terms of what you did, and we'll get to that in a second. But so the Titans took Marvin Harrison Jr. at number seven.
Who I was scared weren't going to take Mike Target.
Yes. Yeah. The Falcons go with Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, a guy that I really like. But then, you know, why don't we explain your trade? What was the trade you made? And we can then go to your pick.
Ended up, you know, seeing how the board ended up shaking out there. I was worried about Joe Alt going to the Titans right off the bat. And I just didn't know if I was going to be able to finagle a trade to move up. And honestly, I had the mock draft simulator going way too fast and kind of missed it, or I probably would have tried to get up sooner. But once I saw that Alt was still available, I was like, all right, I got to make my move. And doing the trade with the simulator was pretty interesting. I offered them the first round pick from the 14th overall, the fifth round selection, which was 175th overall, and also a third rounder from next year. Obviously, the Saints don't have a third round selection this year. And the probability of the trade getting accepted was pretty good, 77%. And thankfully, the Chicago Bears in this simulation took that. So I'm on the clock then with pick number 9. And I knew exactly, like I said, when I was given this assignment, what I was going after.
Sorry. That's bad timing. Yeah, if I was going to say anything about this trade, it's that I think the Bears kind of got hosed a little bit.
Yeah, Mickey, call me.
Yeah, no, if this was a trade that was actually on the board and you were able to make it, then this is a winning trade. Now, I would be surprised if the Bears were able to take that, were willing to take that little to move back 5 spots. But I do think that, you know, if this was a team that only had the number 9 pick, you would be like, there's no way they make this trade. That said, when you have a second pick in the top 10, it does feel like at times you can get away with a little less because you're not worried about, well, we don't have another first rounder. Kind of like the Giants, for example, when the Bears traded up to get Justin Fields, I think the Giants traded down to like 21, but that was their only bite at the apple that season. They took Kadarius Toney, and he was a shit show from day one. And so you ended up looking back at that draft and you're like, man, that's brutal. Like what a terrible miss. Whereas even if the Bears did this, traded back to 14 and took someone that ended up being just a waste, you would still have Caleb Williams to look back at this draft at, and you're picking up a future asset and a future third rounder. I would say you probably, that 175 would probably have to be, you know, a higher pick. You know, I think you'd have a hard time getting away with just the 175, or next year you'd have to give up that second rounder probably. But either way, we don't need to talk more about that. That's kind of where that's what we're doing here, right? We're trying to figure out what is a reasonable trade if you were trying to go up from 14 to 9, and you got to give up a lot, right? Like that's why what makes it so difficult, and that's why it's like when you have a lot of pressure when that trade up ends up being Marcus Davenport, it looks real bad because you gave up extra assets to get that guy. In this case, you were able to get the best offensive tackle on the board. A guy who is definitely not getting to 14. So I think that would be, if you're trading up, this is the type of trade up that I would want, is I am getting the number one guy at that position. And that's what you have.
Right. That was definitely, like I said, when the assignment was given, it was like, all right, I got to trade up. I need the best tackle out there. Let me go get it. Was kind of worried about the Titans getting in there to take them. And then obviously feeling pretty validated afterwards, making the trade and then seeing the Jets go tackle right away too.
I agree. Yeah. And Taliese Fuanga is the guy that, you know, it's funny. He's always off the board in your mocks and he's always on the board in my mocks at 14. I don't know what it is. But yeah, he goes to the Jets. And then that guy that I was always kind of surprised to see his stock be as high as it was goes off the board right after the Vikings. They get Rome Odunze, and that makes a lot of sense. You know, it kind of just, the Vikings need to kind of restock the shelves there. And that's interesting to me. Well, we can kind of go through the rest of the first round. We won't spend a ton of time on them because, you know, you don't have another pick on your mock until 45. So we got to get to that. But Terry and Arnold to the Broncos, cornerback at Alabama at number 12.
I wasn't crazy about that one for Denver.
Now it's an interesting one, but I, you know, they do have, what's his name? Pat Surtain, who, you know, is probably a top 5 corner in the NFL. So you're really just doubling down at that position, at a very important position. Brock Bowers gets all the way to 13. So if you were a guy who was like, I'm going to sit at 14 and I want Brock, he didn't get there. The Raiders took him off the board. at 13, tight end out of Georgia. The Bears traded back and ended up with Jared Verse out of Florida State, right? So he's, I think he was your pick in your first mock draft.
Right.
So it's like,
he ends up at 14.
Yeah, and with the Ryan Ramczyk news, it's like that could sway the Saints, right? If they were like really on the fence about, hey, we can get this elite playmaker at 14 or we can get a tackle, but no, we have Ramczyk. We feel okay. You know, maybe we feel like we can develop Penning and maybe draft a guy behind him or whatever. And you're like, yeah, okay, we're gonna get a little crazy here at 14. That Ramczyk news probably does, you know, probably pull you in one direction. So if you weren't willing to make this trade prior, maybe now you are, is my point. Because you know, there are other options, right? JC Latham at 15, right. Olufoshanu at 16, another guy that's very popular with the Saints.
Yeah, you're starting to see this run, obviously, on offensive tackles. And yeah, that's been one of the biggest buzzes, I think, going into this draft. And one reason, too, like, you feel pretty good about the Saints at least being able to fill that offensive tackle slot because of the class this year and what is out there. But like I said, the goal being for me, get that number one guy at the position on the board, and hopefully it ends up working out. Where we've seen, yeah, we've talked about it just with a guy like Davenport or whoever you've traded up, and it hasn't really worked out for. So there's no obvious guarantees, and I know there's going to be mixed emotions from Saints fans about picking a Notre Dame guy.
That's true. Golden Domer. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's like, okay, you're if your goal is to get a day one plug and play starter, this is your move. Because that's what Joe Alt is. He's a guy who you can feel comfortable slotting him in as a starter week one. And, you know, he's going to be a rookie. He's going to take his lumps like any rookie would. But you're not like sitting there like, wow, what's going to happen? Whereas some of these other guys, I think they probably would be best suited backing up somebody to start and maybe taking over that job after a few games. So if you're going to wait around and take like a Tyler Guyton or somebody like that, and that's maybe what you would have to do if you traded down, foreshadowing, but you know, that's where you are. So anyway, you're getting a run on some skills here. You're getting Nate Wiggins out of Clemson to the Jags at 17, Brian Thomas, LSU guy, 18, Bo Nix to the Rams at 19. That's an interesting one, but it would make sense. I mean, Stafford, like you'd be like, yeah, the Rams have Matt Stafford, but he's an older guy. So this would be a good very good situation for Bo Nix to land in my opinion.
Yeah. Who did the Rams sign as a backup though?
Well, they had the kid from Georgia last year.
Oh,
I can't recall.
Oh, right. They but they also had Wentz.
Stetson Bennett.
Right. I'm not sure.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's who they ended. I was like, they got somebody.
Yeah, but again, like if your goal is to get a young guy in there to develop him over a year or two, and then when Stafford is ready to hang it up, you got a guy. I think that'd be a smart pick. And then you kind of go Graham Barton tackle. To the Steelers, Leitu Latu to the Dolphins, Cooper DeJean, pretty late in this mock, to the Eagles, cornerback out of Iowa. Byron Murphy II, he's a guy who you took in a previous mock, goes to the Vikings. Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma, goes to the Cowboys. DeJean Newton to the Packers. Troy Fitanu, another tackle, goes to the Bucks.
Tackle, baby, they keep going.
Right, Amarius Mims, tackle, goes to the Cardinals. These are guys who, you know, if you traded down, they would be in your range. Wide receiver Adonai Mitchell to the Bills. Chop Robinson to the Lions. Jackson Powers Johnson, center out of Oregon. A lot of people like him. He goes to the Ravens. Cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry to the 49ers. In the last pick of the first round, a guy I really like that if he's there at 45, I want him every time. Darius Robinson goes to the Chiefs. Edge rusher out of Missouri.
That's funny you said that because I was actually trying to, like, should I try and finagle moving up in the second to get a guy like him? He was definitely on my radar.
A second trade.
Yeah, I was trying to be fancy.
I considered a second trade down in mind, but I was like, yeah, we didn't discuss that. I don't want to go weird. All right, so you got Panthers take TJ Tampa in the first pick of the second round. Cornerback out of Iowa State. Troy Franklin, speedy wide receiver out of Oregon, goes to the Patriots. Another fast guy, Xavier Worthy, the fastest guy, I should say, out of Texas, goes to the Cardinals at 35. Jordan Morgan, tackle, goes to the Commanders. Xavier Leggett, the guy I took in a previous mock, goes to the Chargers. Roger Rosengarten, another tackle out of Washington, goes to the Titans. So we have, 10 tackles off the board?
Pretty wild.
It's a deep tackle draft. I pick 38. Kamari Lassiter, 39, to the Panthers, cornerback out of Georgia. Max Melton, cornerback out of Rutgers, goes to the Commanders at 40. He'll probably be on the Saints in, 2028. Tyler Newbin, safety. You didn't think that joke was funny. I thought that joke was funny. Tyler Newbin, safety, goes to the Packers. Ladd McConkey, wide receiver out of Georgia, goes to the Texans. Peyton Wilson, linebacker, North Carolina State, goes to the Cardinals. Michael Penix Jr., the guy you took at 45 in the last mock.
And I was like getting ready to do it again.
It's like they knew.
Yeah.
He goes to the Raiders at number 44. Quarterback out of
Wisconsin.
Damn
you, silver and black.
Damn you, silver and black. And so, Saints on the board. Who's the pick?
And with the 45th selection in the NFL draft, the New Orleans Saints select Braden Fisk from Florida State, defensive lineman.
And why is that?
Making a move. I know a lot of folks are critical of him because he's a little bit older than most prospects. But I'm still trying to beef up my O-line, which at least I did in the first round. I want to still address the defensive line. And I think he's a guy that could definitely add some more pass rush for that D-line. I know that, you know, he's got a great athleticism, good quickness, a burst. Curious about more how he'll do in the stuff in the run game in the NFL. But I think he's got that high motor kind of ability and someone that I know is one of those max effort kind of guys I think can bring to this defensive front. And another worthy addition to a line that definitely needs help going into this year. I'd like to curious to see how he'd be along with Brian Brzee.
No, I agree with your assessment here. He's very athletic, right? He fits the measurables. He fits the profile that they'd want at defensive tackle. And the Saints have shown that they don't mind drafting on a strength, and that's, you know, I don't know if you call it a strength per se, but
right.
Drafting on a position where they already have starters in line. Like, there's no direct path to a starting spot at defensive tackle because you still have Colin Saunders, Nathan Shepard, and obviously Brian Brzee. But you did lose Malcolm Roach, right? So there is some room in that rotation for another guy. And I like the idea of having, you know, it's like you don't ever think about the defensive tackle position. But when you have blue chip guys at both those spots, especially as a 4-3 defense, man, that makes a difference. When you can stop the run as a 4-3 defense, your life gets so much easier. And so I like this idea of having these two just big dudes, these athletic freaks at the defensive tackle spot, just making life miserable on quarterbacks and running backs. So I like it. And you know that you could have gone more need-based here. Mike Sanders still is a guy who I took in the first mock draft. PFF has come around. Because when I took him, he gave me an F. Now he's apparently at 45 is the right pick. You know, they probably would have given you an A. So don't over PFF grades because they're usually bullshit. But yeah, it's definitely not a knee-based pick, but I do like the pick.
Yeah, I'm just hoping, you know, he can develop after, you know, making the pick, doing a little more reading on him. I've seen there's been some criticism about his hand usage. So going to need some coaching up in the pros.
Yeah, I mean, when you get a guy at 45, that's the biggest difference between getting a guy at 14 and getting a guy at 45 or even like 24, like late first round or where you got Brian Brzee in the 20s, right? The biggest difference is they're not going to be as pro ready as some of these other guys. You are going to have to develop them. You know, like that's why you can get a guy in the second round that, you know, maybe has first round traits but is not going there because he needs some work. But I do think the Saints have, you know, they've done a pretty good job at developing interior line guys.
I don't know what you're talking about with the PFF grading system because my first pick got an A+, and then this pick got me an A. So I'm very happy with them.
Yeah, that's kind of a red flag, I think.
Right. No, I get it.
Yeah. But no, I would love this draft. I think, you know, you partially because you were able to steal the 9th pick from the Bears for basically nothing. And if you're able to do that, great. You know, like a lot of times that will happen is these, the Bears are like, yeah, you know what? We don't really love anybody at this spot, or we love 6 different guys at this spot and we can't make a decision anyway. So we'll move back and then let the board decide for us. You know, I think that happens.
And I think, like you mentioned there, I did think about, I was like, well, the Bears had the first overall pick. Maybe they'd be willing to, you know, go through with this a little more. And the fact that, you know, I just think that the Saints giving up next year's third round pick to me, I figured they thought was closer to being a second rounder, since I don't think a lot of folks, especially with the Vegas win totals coming out, at 7.5 for this coming season. Have a lot of high hopes around the black and gold heading into, you know, 2024.
First of all, that win total is like, take the
over. I know.
Like, come on.
But they did have 9.5 last year.
Well, right. But why? Why is this year different? What's changed? That's the part that doesn't make sense to me.
Kirk Cousins is in the division now.
Yeah. Like everyone's in love with the Falcons and Kirk Cousins. I don't get it. I really don't. But
I think they have the Falcons at 10.5.
Yeah, which is crazy.
I know. That's like, what?
Crazy.
Give me the under.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, they could have a great season and get 9 wins.
Right.
Like, that swing makes no sense to me. But we'll see. Yeah, maybe I'm misreading the situation, and this 36-year-old is the next coming of Peyton Manning. I don't know. This is not like they're treating it like it's Peyton Manning to the Broncos. That's how the consensus seems to be treating Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. It's like when Peyton Manning signed with the Broncos and went nuts.
Championship.
Well, they actually didn't win championship that year. That was the year they lost to the Seahawks. They got blown out by the Seahawks. They made the Super Bowl. They got blown out by the Seahawks. Oh, but that was Peyton Manning's massive year with the Broncos. The next year, he kind of had a crappy season. He ended up getting hurt. Brock Osweiler started a bunch of games. And then he kind of rode the bus to the Super Bowl, and they beat the Panthers. But like that's how people are treating, it seems, this move is Peyton Manning to the Broncos. Because that was about the same age. And I have a hard time with that.
You've been on record before calling Kirk Cousins Mr. You know, average or Mr. League average,
he's
right?
Mr. League. Well, like if Falcons fans will say I'm saying that as an insult. I'm saying that as an accurate statement of like league average quarterbacks win games. No wins
right.
games.
It's definitely not an insult. I don't feel at all to him. But yeah, he's just a meh guy.
He's a league average quarterback.
Right.
And you know, you could say Derek Carr is a below league average quarterback. I don't know, but either way, getting to league average at the quarterback position, a lot of teams would take that.
Oh, it's a huge upgrade for Atlanta. I'm not going to give them that at all, but I don't think it rockets them into double digit wins.
If the Falcons had a league average quarterback last year, they'd probably win 9 games.
I'm not going to disagree.
Yeah. That's probably the difference between 7-10 and 9-8 is a league average quarterback. But, okay. Let's wrap up this mock. We're going to go into the trade down mock. The mock that's definitely going to be wrong because the Saints never do it. And we will get into that. This is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. Stick around.